Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's that hiding in the shadows? Something lurking in your closet. Those small town stories may turn out to be a little more true than you thought. These subscribers sent him their allegedly true, creepy as heck, stories from small towns. I hope you'll enjoy these. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours will help keep this channel going. Now, let's get into these creepy, allegedly true, small town stories sent in by viewers just like you.
Hi Swamp, my name is Alex and this happened to me 2 years ago. When me and my brother used to live in a small town called Sanders, Arizona. We were coming back from my cousin's house and it was a quiet night and me and my brother felt like we were being watched. We were almost to my house when I saw a man just standing by the road. I quickly asked my brother if he saw him as well. He said no and we drove fast back home to my house. We made it back to my house and my brother said just to leave it alone, and we went inside and we started to go to sleep. A few hours later, I heard something like a moan or a yell. I looked out the window and there was nothing. I went into my brother's room, woke him up, and said there's something outside. He looked at me and said get my gun, and I went to get it, but I turned toward a window that was by the door. And I saw something that I just can't explain. It looked like a dog, but more of a man. It stood around 8 to 9 feet tall by the looks of it, and it looked at the window, and I quickly hid behind the wall. My brother was walking towards me. He said, "Where's the gun?" I quickly told him to be quiet. I said it's by the window. He went to see it, and quickly got quiet, and I looked at the window again. It was looking right at us. And it screamed real loud. We ran to my brother's room, locked the door, and said, "What do we do?" He said I needed to get some ash to shoot it, and we walked out of the room. I looked out the window once more. This time there was nothing. He asked if it was still out there and I said no. Out of nowhere we heard loud, loud, thunderous footsteps on the top of the house and banging, and my brother said, "I'm going outside." I told him not to. And he went straight to open the door. He opened it and yelled, "Hey!" I went outside with him, and we saw the thing. It was just standing there. My brother quickly aimed at it and shot it real quickly. It jumped off the roof, but when it jumped, it didn't look human or animal. It looked like some ungodly amalgamation of the two. It ran into the darkness, and we quickly went inside. My brother said we need to see a medicine man. For people who do not know, a medicine man is a person who can heal and bless people. So we went to sleep, and when morning came, me and my brother packed our stuff and went to see if any of his shots hit the thing. There didn't seem to be anything. There was no blood, but we found footprints of a person, and we followed it to the end of our driveway. We saw that it turned into a dog footprint after that. We never went back to my old house. So is this a skinwalker, or a wendigo, or a dogman? I don't know. I did some research and it seems like a skinwalker, but I don't know. What do you think?
I live somewhere in upstate Pennsylvania, McKean County, to give a generalization. Now, I have multiple stories that I could say, and since they're all short, I'll say them all. Well, this first incident happened a while back. I was probably about 10 or 11, and it was about 11 a.m. I was trying to get to bed because of a science test I had the next day. It was trying to get to sleep. Remember the key word, at 11 a.m. The house is extremely quiet, and if you wanted to, you could drop a pin on my kitchen floor and hear it. Well, I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden, I hear a quick, "Bryce," from outside of my room. This was at the point where I was still scared of the dark and slept with a nightlight and didn't close my door. I listened again, but nothing came for the rest of the night, and I fell asleep. That's not the end of that story, though. The next day I was in my science class taking my test. The room is again extremely quiet. I hear again, "Bryce," from the whispering voice somewhere. I look up and look around. Everyone is busy doing the test and no one else seemed to hear it. The interesting part of this story, though, was that the weekend I was at my grandma's, and I told her about it. She said my cousin had been hearing the same thing. I don't know if I was hearing things or if it was a ghost, but if so, it's gone now. The next story again happened to me when I was younger. I own 30 acres of land and some of it has logging roads, and I'm big on hiking and making forts and stuff, so it was normal for me to be outside. Well, I had just started my trek up the hill, and I stopped to take a break. I sat down and laid my pellet rifle across my lap when I heard the screams of my sister and brother. "Bryce! Bryce!" I heard twice in a row. I screamed, "What?" And there was no response. Now, let me put into perspective where I was. I was above a dirt road, which was only a couple hundred feet from my house. I could not see down the dirt road, or up it either, so I had no idea if anyone was actually there. After screaming "what" a few times to no response, I started moving downhill when a sound stopped me in my tracks. Running. Not normal running. Fast-paced, heavy-footed running. This wasn't something my brother or my sister was capable of. Fear struck over me, for I could not see what was running up the dirt road. After a minute, the running stopped. I slowly made my way downhill. I made it to my house and my mom was in my living room, and I asked, "What?" And she looked at me puzzled and said, "What?" I said someone was calling my name and sounded like my sister and brother. Then the most chilling words came from my mother's mouth. "Your sister and brother are in their rooms. They haven't been outside." There is one more scary event that had happened to me when I was younger. I was about 5 years old. One morning I woke up at maybe 5 or 6 a.m. I was scared to get out of bed, though. There were large, heavy-footed noises outside my house. These weren't human. They sounded like large feet of an angry Bigfoot. Why do I say angry Bigfoot? There's a legend around my town. It's called the Card Creek Monster or something like that. Don't try and look it up. You won't find it. The only reason I know about it is that there's an article cut out of my grandpa's house. If requested, I will tell the story of the legend. Thanks for reading my stories. Have a good day.
I have a short story. I've only told my boyfriend about what I had seen, and I honestly don't know if he really believes me. When I first met my current boyfriend, I was going to college the town over from him, living in a dorm on campus. This is a very small town where everyone knows everyone. I would stay at this place pretty late and drive back to my dorm at around 2 or 3 a.m. One night, I left as usual and was driving down the main road. Both towns have a significant amount of wooded area, but it's definitely not in the middle of area per se. No one else was on the road. As I was driving, I began to see a figure walking on the right side of the road, walking in the same direction I was driving, At first, it looked like an abnormally large, pale person. I tried to focus on it, and I blinked a couple of times. I leaned forward to look again, and at this time, it looked like a very large wolf. I was confused. It was just strolling down the street and didn't react to my car at all. For a long time, I just brushed it off. I figured I was tired and just seeing things. But just recently, something I was watching made it click. I was watching this cryptid documentary on Swamp Dweller's channel, and it really made me think that I know what I saw. I was just in denial these past few years. I'm more creeped out than I ever have been. I definitely had seen a cryptid of some kind that night. This happened tonight while I was jogging with my best friend and my mom. We are two females in late 20s and one female in the 50s. My best friend and I like to jog late at night since we live in Florida and it's cooler at night, and there aren't a lot of people out at that time. We both just recently started the C25K program, and since we're overweight and shy, we don't want to jog in front of a bunch of people yet. My mom goes with us and she walks while we jog. Tonight, there were a few people out there besides us. There was an older lady walking her dog and a couple of teenage girls who were just walking and talking about nothing, really. About 3/4 of the way through our jog, two guys showed up. They were probably late teens, early 20s, give or take. We had only to pass them once, but we got a weird vibe from them. The teenage girls probably felt it too because they left shortly after passing them. We were almost done with our cool-down walk when we noticed they were standing up. They were watching us rather intently. They were waiting for us to pass by again, and I was sure of it. We decided to turn around and finish our cool-down in the other direction when my mom said she needed to find a restroom ASAP. We cut our cool-down short by a minute or so. As we were leaving, the guys walked up into the parking lot a bit and watched the car drive by. It was rather unsettling. Their stares were just so cold and lifeless. I'm just glad we got out of there when we did. Who knows what would have happened, and who knows what they were planning. Hopefully, they won't be there the next time we go for a run. In small towns like this, there are some weird people hiding out in the boonies. I'm an avid runner. Since my early teen years, I've run through freezing rain and searing heat, foggy nights and sunny days. That said, every once in a while something happens that makes me reconsider my dedication to my passion. On a cool August night a couple years ago, something changed my running habits indefinitely. I had recently moved back into my parents' house in that awkward interim period between college and a career. It's funny, because I had done my night runs in sketchy cities and bad neighborhoods for years, and nothing special or interesting had ever happened. The ironic thing is, in this suburban, middle-upper-class neighborhood on the outskirts of a small town had one of my most frightening experiences ever. My normal 2-mile jog took me through one lamp-lit intersection 3 times before getting home. Don't ask how exactly, because it's a complex route. Suffice to say, I must go through this intersection once to leave my house, once halfway through my route, and once to get home. I had run this route hundreds of times both night and day, and it was always safe and scarce, traffic-wise. The night in question, I took off on my run at around 10:45 p.m. My parents were already off to bed and the neighborhood was usually dead quiet by 9. I went down the street at a standard pace. The silence of the night rejected by the epic music blaring through my cheap Walmart headphones. The first pass through the lamp-lit intersection came up and I immediately noticed something was off. Under the lamp, legs resting in the road, was the silhouette of a man sitting on the curb, hunched over. In this neighborhood, seeing anyone out at night was quite unusual. He was across the street, so I didn't feel imminently threatened by him. Running creates this stupid illusion that you're somehow safe as long as you're moving, even though you're exposed more than ever. The first half of my run took me through a section of houses under construction. It was always creepy in this area, and a few shadows seen out of the corner of my eye had finally inspired me to start running with a small folding knife. It was a stupid security measure on my part, like a knife that size could do anything in reality. The legal knife limit in my state is 5 inches, and my running knife was jealous of that size. As I ran through the abandoned construction sites, the sight of the man earlier began nagging at me. I half expected him to pop out of one of the shadows created by the large half-built structures. It was really strange that he was sitting hunched over like that. His existence there just didn't fit with the vibe of the rest of the neighborhood. My next turn took me back towards the lamplit intersection. A little bit of dread built up in me as I approached the intersection. For a moment, I didn't see the man. I relaxed, hoping he had wandered on. My pounding heart sank as I saw the figure sitting a bit outside of the light on the other side of the road that I was currently running on. It was as if he had changed position, knowing full well where I would be coming from. I maintained my course and speed, refusing to let some random guy sitting on the curb bother me. I had seen stranger things than a sitting guy. I didn't let it bother me in the slums. I wasn't going to let it bother me here. But my confidence melted quickly as I grew closer to the hunched figure. I was 20 feet away from him when I noticed the man was fiddling with something in his hand. 15 feet. The man turned and looked up at me, his hand dropping. 10 feet, he hunched lower, the thing in his hand still concealed by the darkness. 5 feet from the man, I suddenly saw a glint in hand. He had a knife, and not a dinky little folding knife. It was a 12-inch Bowie knife, gripped tightly in his fist. I sort of went into autopilot at this point. I was already practically stepping over this weird guy, and now I realized he had a massive knife. I myself am a collector of knives. It wasn't the knife itself that scared me, it's what he did next. As I ran within inches of him, the man leaned forward and began tapping the knife around the ground just next to my feet. I sort of awkwardly sidestepped away from the man, crossing the street and continued my run. It took a minute to set in what just happened, and that's when I realized I had to pass this guy one more time to get home. I stopped my run, pocketed my headphones, and pulled out my dinky folding knife. I had run around a corner of wooden fences and out of sight from the man, so I decided I would peek back around and spy for an opportunity to run through the intersection and back home. As I peeked around the fence and into the light, I was surer than ever that I should not go back through that intersection. The man with the massive knife was crawling around on all fours. Now fully revealed by the light and no longer hunched, I could see this guy was big. I would say he appeared to be around 6 or 6.5 feet tall, but I was supposed he was 6 or 6.5 feet long as he was crawling. He clambered around for a second, so stopping and rolling around in the grass. At this point, I noped out of the situation and called the cops. Lucky me, I used my phone as a timer for my runs, so I had it with me that night. I called the operator and let them know the situation. Not to brag, but I sounded super chill when describing the scene to the operator. But my chill began to fade as I peeked around the fence to give a description of the guy to the operator. Black pants. Boots. Gray shirt. Standard, useless descriptors. It now appeared he was laying down in the road. Well, not laying down, more like sliding. He was pushing himself into a storm drain. As I watched, this guy stuffed half his body into the storm drain. It looked like he was having trouble since he was a big guy, but he was somehow getting in. Like an idiot, I took my eyes off of him to step back to safety as the operator told me to. The police arrived a minute or so later. No less than 5 cop cars flooded into the neighborhood. It must have been a slow night. With one of the officers backing me up, I walked back through the intersection to get home. The lamp-lit intersection was empty. No one was there. There wasn't even any evidence of someone being there. I waited out front of my parents' house for a while until one of the police cars drove by me. The officer let me know that they didn't find anyone. Whoever it was had slipped away. The police believed it was a resident of the houses nearby who just ran back home once he saw the emergency lights. I think that's the most likely possibility. I still remember the last time I saw the guy, half wedged in a storm drain. Sometimes I wonder if he made it in. Maybe we're both right, the police and I. The man did just run off home when he saw the lights. But maybe his home was not one of the houses placed so quaintly above ground. It probably is stupid, but I give most storm drains a wide berth now. Better safe than sorry, when there may be a knife-wielding lunatic slashing at your ankles. About 10 years ago, I lived in a pretty active house for 5 years. I was 17 to 19 at the time. It started small but escalated slowly. On the day we moved in, my mom, sister, and I, the neighbors greeted us, a nice older couple. In conversation, they mentioned that the past 3 families had moved out after 1 year, but I didn't really think anything of it. As we unpacked, I went into the attic to put away storage boxes and found that the attic was already full of boxes, full of random things. Clothes, toys, an old Atari system, all kinds of stuff. We thought it was weird but made room for our things and left it all there. The house had a creepy feeling from the start. The being watched feelings and sometimes the feeling that you were somewhere you shouldn't be, especially in the hallway. We had 2 cats and they would be laying down and then look up and seem to watch something cross the room and sometimes follow it into the next room. Nothing there. No bugs. Nothing. Fast forward 6 months and we started hearing footsteps in the attic. Heavy boot sounding steps from one end of the house to the other. Then we would hear boxes sliding across the plywood attic floor as well. This got to be an almost daily occurrence. We knew it wasn't squirrels making those sounds. A while later, my girlfriend at the time moved in with us, and she witnessed what we had, and more started happening. We would stay up late watching TV. Not every night, but some nights, the TV would turn on to Channel 5 on its own. Always between 3 or 3:05 a.m. The cable box would still display whatever channel I was watching, and the remote would stop working. I would have to unplug the cable box to get it to reset. On the back door were long blinds, and they would clack against the door with the slightest of movement. On 2 occasions, my girlfriend and I watched one of the bottom corners of the blinds suddenly and silently be pulled away from the door about 1 foot, and then slowly let back down. One day I was going into the garage. I opened the door from the kitchen, and the big trash can we kept just to the left of the door immediately slid about 2 feet to block my way into the garage. This, at the time, was the first time I had genuinely felt scared of what or who was there. A while after that, it got more intense for me specifically. On 8 occasions, I was slapped in the face moments after I lay down in bed. It wasn't the falling feeling you get as you fall asleep. I was completely awake and aware. There was an audible smack and my head was forced into my pillow. My face would be cold in all pins and needles, and every hair on my body stood up. Every time, most times, I would see a dense black figure in my bedroom doorway afterward, and those were the only times I saw apparitions in that house. A little while after the slapping started, my grandparents came to visit. My grandfather is very sensitive to spirits, so I was interested to see what he felt. Within minutes of him coming into my house, my grandfather looked left to right, shook off a chill and said, "Whoa, you guys live in this joint?" So that pretty much confirmed it for us, that we weren't crazy. We told him about a little bit of the activity, but not everything, because it would have turned into a week-long rant for my grandfather. Anyway, the next day I woke up and he was already awake. He immediately leads me to the hall closet, where we all have always been having this weird feeling. He said he got up last night to use the bathroom, and when he passed the closet he was stopped and felt like he needed to open it. He said he saw a small dark wooden door with a silver metallic handle. As soon as he reached out for the handle, it disappeared. All he saw was drywall. He then opened the closet door and pointed out to me that there was about a 5x5 completely walled off space behind the closet, and the faint outline of a small door could be seen. Basically, a small inaccessible room. We tried to look up history in the house but couldn't find much of anything. Shortly after, I ended up moving out. I've had a few other experiences since, but nothing like that house. That house is proof beyond proof for me. It got unnerving towards the end, but it hooked me into the paranormal. This is a pretty short story, but it was pretty scary for me. One day back in late 2018, my sister and mom decided to go to a mall. Well, it's not really a mall. It's more like a strip mall in a small little town in Kentucky. It's always crowded for a small town, on our standards at least. Not to mention that traffic is honestly horrible there. After arriving, my little sister went off with her friends and my mom went to the Apple store to get her phone fixed. I quickly grew bored after about 10 minutes, since I'm a pretty impatient person. So, I told my mom I was going to go look in this store called Forever 21. On my way out, I noticed a man staring me down. Thought it was creepy, but I decided to ignore it. People stare all the time. Until he started following me. I quickly got nervous at this point. He held a phone up to his ear, but wasn't speaking. He followed me until I went into Forever 21. I waited there for about 15 minutes or so just to be safe. I couldn't find anything I liked, so I decided to leave. To my surprise, the man was waiting outside the store and quickly followed me. I was growing more scared by the minute, so I hid in the crowd, or at least as best as I could. He lost me for a few moments but somehow noticed me and followed me back to the Apple store. I didn't tell my mom what was going on, but I felt safer being with her. The man still stood outside the store staring me down. I believe he gave up after a little while when I left the store with my mom. I later realized that pretending to be on the phone is a tactic that most of these people use. A lot of girls are being kidnapped around my state recently, even in grocery store parking lots. People speculate that they're taking these girls and forcing them into sex rings. The scariest thing is that one of those girls could have been me. This may not be scary to others, but I know the experience for me was terrifying. I'm planning on investing in some pepper spray so I can at least defend myself somewhat. I'll always be more careful from now on because of that. Even in small towns, you're never really safe. When I was around 10 or 11, I took my little sister to the park right by our school. We weren't there long before a black truck came into the parking lot and just stayed there. No one came out of the truck and all the windows were tinted and the windshield was slightly tinted as well. I started getting this really creeped out feeling, so I told my sister we should leave. And as we did, the truck started and left the parking lot and turned left. So, the park and my old school are separated by a bridge, and there is a small, shallow stream of water underneath it. I told my sister to duck by the bridge, as it has a big curve, and I see the black truck drive slowly by the far side of the school where the teachers park. I waited till I couldn't see it anymore, and then I took my sister home a very long and distracting way in case the truck was following us. I told my mom, and she didn't let my sister and I go to the park for a few days. I would hate to think what would happen to my sister and I if we didn't leave and take caution when we did. I lived in a small town at the time, with roughly 3,000 or so people, and everybody knew everybody. I have more creepy things that happened to me in that town that make me not trust that place anymore. I guess maybe not everybody has a home sweet home. Anyways, thank you for sharing my story, Swamp. Thanks for listening to these allegedly true, creepy, small-town stories sent in by viewers just like you. These stories are pretty creepy, honestly. Living in a small town myself and growing up there most of my life, I'm not sure what I would do if I experienced a lot of these things. I have run into the occasional creeper, or I guess you could say pedo, but nothing like some of these people. If you like these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the Swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the Swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this channel going. You can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you everywhere you go. You can download them on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, and many more. Be sure to do so. You can find the links to download them in the description down below. Thank you guys as always for supporting the Swamp. We're just about to hit 150,000 subscribers. That is absolutely bonkers. If you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is blue green. Comment that down below to let me know you made it all the way to the end, and to confuse anybody who didn't. It's a lot of fun doing these code words, and I'm hoping that you guys enjoy them too. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.